Dear Lord God, once again we're here before you, Lord. We thank you so much for a beautiful day. We know it's a little bit warm, but we take the warm over the cold any day. But we thank you mostly for just letting us have another day and for allowing us to spend time together and read from your word and talk about your word. We just ask that you send your Holy Spirit and just minister to us. We praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about this morning was what should be first in your life? What is the number one thing in your life? It doesn't matter who you talk to. Everybody has their number one thing. You know, and I know people where work is their number one thing. That's all they do. Work, 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 7 days a week. And everything else takes a backseat to that. You see guys that have girlfriends, and the girlfriend's number one. And everything else takes a backseat. You have guys with motocross, where motocross is the number one thing, and that's all they do. I mean, that's life. And, you know, being really dedicated and really wanting to do something, there's nothing wrong with that. I actually think that God gives us the desire to do some things to enable us to do others. Like I've often said, you know, I'm glad I enjoy motocross, because if God asked me to come out here and minister to people and I didn't like motocross, that would be really hard to do, because you'd want to be somewhere else. I mean, that's just human nature. So I think what he does, I think he gives us a desire for stuff to where we can do his work and enjoy it at the same time. He doesn't want us to be miserable. You know, those Christians that walk around with a sad look on their face, I don't want to be one of them. I want to be a happy one. And I want to enjoy what I do. So, like I said, I don't believe there's a thing wrong with having desires of things that we want to do. And like I said, I also believe that some of that, a lot of times, you know, God gives us those desires that we can do his will. But the number one thing in our life should be God. He wants to be number one. No matter what happens, what you do, where you're at, he has to be the number one thing. And, you know, how do I know that? Let's read Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Jesus was talking to the leaders of the time, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, I don't know that any of us put God first all the time, but I think we really should try. And the thing that's really cool about God, the one place where E for effort counts is with God. You know, this is like when you see your kid out riding on the track and he might not be doing as good as he should. When he's doing the best he can, you're going, all right, cool. And that's what God wants. He wants us just to do the best that we can. He doesn't love us any less if we don't measure up to perfection. We don't have to be perfect. But let's read on, verse 39 and 40. It says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So he says, okay, I want to be number one. And number two is love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what does it mean to love your neighbor? I found a scripture in Matthew 7, I thought, that kind of summed that up. Probably a little better than I can even say it. Chapter 7, verse 12, it says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So just treat other people the way you want to be treated. You don't want to have your stuff stolen. You don't want to have your stuff vandalized. You don't want to have, I mean, It's a really easy list that you can make and just keep going. So just treat others the same way you want to be treated. And that's not a New Testament teaching or anything like that. It's not that Jesus was the first one to ever say that. If you read in Deuteronomy, which is the Old Testament, long before Jesus came to this earth, in Deuteronomy 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So he's always wanted that. That was nothing new with Jesus. And then in Leviticus chapter 19, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So it's just a repeat of what he already asked in the Old Testament. It's nothing new. But why do you want to make God number one? Well, one reason I want to make him number one is because things just work better when I have him as number one. When I follow God with all my heart, a lot of my stress goes away. A lot of my problems seem to work easier. It just makes things better. Now, if I don't follow him just 100%, he's number one, you know, just totally number one. If I don't do that, will he love me any less? No. That's the awesome part about our God. He loves us no matter what. He loves us just. That's why he sent Jesus to die for us on the cross, because he loved us that much. In Ephesians, it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." Grieve, another word for that would be sadden. "Do not sadden the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do you want to make your mom and dad sad? I mean, sometimes we make our mom and dad mad. I used to make mine mad all the time when they were here. But the bottom line is, you really want them to like you. You really want them to be in your corner, and you don't want to make them sad. Well, the Holy Spirit is God. You know, you got Father God, Father Son, and Father the Holy Spirit. The three are one. So why would you make God sad? For one, if he's sad, he's going to have to try to bring you back. And a lot of times, God bringing you back where you need to be hurt. Because he doesn't want you off doing your own thing. He wants you right there with him. So he will do whatever it takes to bring you back if you're not making him number one. So things all of a sudden may not go the way you want them to. Things like that happen. You start praying and you don't feel like your prayers are working like they ought to be working. It's not that he's not listening, but he's just kind of standing back on, you know. I'm not your number one, and I want to be, and this is what it takes for me to be number one, so we're going to do what it takes. That's just like when you're working on a project, trying to put a project together, you're going to do whatever it takes to make that project work. Well, you're God's project, and he loves us with all his heart, and like I said, he wants to be the number one, and he doesn't want us to make him miserable. So when you see a Christian, for instance, you know, somebody, they've dedicated their life to Jesus Christ, they're born again, and you know they're going to heaven. We know that. But they're living like a heathen. I know people like that. I mean, they're out there in the world just doing stuff. And that saddens the Holy Spirit. It makes God sad, and he wants to bring them back. And he's going to do whatever it takes to bring them back. And their life is going to fall apart in one way or the other. The devil's happy. He's like, yeah, there's another one out of commission. So the devil don't have to do nothing. But we can do it to we do it to ourselves a lot of times. The whole thing about this message today, God wants to be number one no matter what. And it starts with repentance. Now, like it says, you know, we see Christians not living the way they should. But first, you got to be a Christian. in order to be one, you got to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To receive Him as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is recognize who He is. He's the Son of God. He came to this world. He died for us on the cross to pay for the sins that we have committed. And He rose 3 days later and is now in heaven preparing a place for us. And if we are willing to admit that we sinned, you know, like Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all need a Savior. And if we admit that and we go to Jesus and say, man, I need you, He will come into our life. He promises that. In Romans 10:13 it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's the first thing, you got to be saved. Most all of you here are. If any of you are not, if you feel that tug on your heart saying, hey, it's time to change, now would be the time to do that. Like I always said, you never know. You could get run over by a truck on the way home. That sounds really cold, but it's the truth. I mean, people die all the time. And I'm glad we don't have any real little kids here, because it's kind of scary when you tell them that. They don't want to hear that yet. But those of us that are a little older, you know, we see it. My mom and dad went home to be with the Lord. You know, now they both lived a pretty good life and got old, but they died from cancer miserably. And my dad passed in peace. My mom passed in peace, but they had to suffer, and, you know, now they're home. Well, the same way they went home, I could go home. You never know. I'm not ready. I got a few things to do yet. But we have to remember that. So if you have friends that don't know Jesus, point them out to them. You don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible. You just got to tell them who He is. And the best way to get people interested in Jesus is telling them what He did for you and how your life changed. I went from being a drunk to this. I mean, I didn't go, no, I wasn't a thief or bank robber or anything like that. But I was not living the way God wanted me to live. I was born and raised in the church, and all that did was drove me as far away from it as you possibly could, because the church that my folks were going to at the time, they're a whole bunch of hypocrites. I mean, it really was. And you know what? Most churches are. My pastor we used to have years ago used to say, if you find the perfect church, don't go there because you'll mess it up. Because there is no such thing. You got them in everything. There's hypocrites everywhere. And now I lost my train of thought. Yeah, got kind of rambling a little bit there this morning. Sorry about that. What's that?
Getting old?
Yeah, that's true. But either way, we need Jesus. That we didn't forget. And like we said, Jesus will change your life. I guarantee that. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, when I received Him as my Savior, I didn't really notice a difference in myself that night. But as the days went on afterwards, I started noticing that I was acting different and I was doing things different. I didn't want to cuss every 2 seconds like I used to. I didn't want to use the four-letter word no more like I used to. The drinking God just took away from me. And I'm not an anti-drinker. I'm perfectly good with somebody having a drink. But God doesn't want us to be alcoholics. And I was bordering on that real close. So, you know, that went away. God just took it away from me. In the same way He can take the problems away from you guys that you have. And He loves you. And if you're not His number one right now, with the close of this message, is what I ask. Just rededicate yourself and make Him number one. With that, I'd like to close. Our God and Father, we just love You. We thank You. You make it easy for us to come to You. It's not always easy to walk the walk, but to come to You and receive Jesus, that step is easy. But it takes faith. We have to believe that Jesus came and died for us. We love You ever so much, and we thank You for that. We thank Jesus for coming to this earth and dying for us. We thank You for Him being up there preparing a place for us, that someday we can spend eternity together. We just appreciate it. So, Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus yet, I ask that you would touch their heart. Let them know now is the time of salvation. We thank you and we praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.